There's really nothing wrong with my back. However, you know, it's possible to be burdened, to be weighed down by care. And you know, the Lord doesn't want us to be that way. You know, we have a God who cares about you and me. His eye is on the sparrow, the hymn writer put it, and he watches you and me. And the verse that comes to mind, it's in 1 Peter. Let's turn this verse. Familiar verse. But how wonderful it is to have the Word of God to turn to. You know, we can rely on what we read in this book. We don't get disinformation out of this book. And that rejoices my heart. And we have the one, as we had this afternoon in our Bible reading, the one who is the true light. Lights every man that comes into the world. And you know, to have your pathway illuminated by the Lord Jesus Christ, how wonderful this is. I think our brother Bill, he gave out a hymn about we would not take from falsehood's fire, though glittering be the spark, thou only art our soul desire. Art light where all is dark. You know, people are building fires today. And the sparks are flying. And people think that they got something good going. But it doesn't last. It's like a spark. It appears, then it's gone. How many are chasing sparks today? They're building their own fires. You know what the Lord says about that? They're going to lie down in sorrow. It's going to be disappointment. Let's see, today is Saturday. Yesterday, known as Black Friday, my daughter, she sent a text. She had read this. It said something to this effect. America is the only country where people trample on each other in order to take advantage of sales, and they do it one day after giving thanks for what they have. I thought about that. How many there are chasing sparks? But you know, a man's life does not depend upon the abundance of the things that he possesses. What is really life? And we're exhorted to take hold of that which is really life. And we had that today. This is life eternal, that you might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, who he has sent. It's so wonderful to get better acquainted with our God and Jesus Christ. He truly is God manifest in the flesh. And the word in Job is, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace, and thereby good shall come unto thee. Well, I made reference here to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. We might read verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. God appreciates humility. We don't see a lot of it in the world today. Men striving for position, power, and fame. Humility. You know, it tells us earlier here that God resists the proud. Humble yourselves, therefore, unto the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. God will exalt you in his time. And it's good to wait his time. Very important. True humility, I do believe, is not thinking ill of ourselves. Sometimes we get that impression, you know, that I need to get humble by thinking bad about myself. I don't think that's how it works. True humility is when we get into the presence of God and we focus, we're absorbed with his majesty, his love, his beauty. And it takes us outside of ourselves. We're not thinking about ourselves. Well, it tells us here, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Here we have care. You know, care, it's inevitable. I think care here, we're talking about situations, events, times in our life that are very trying. But you know, God doesn't want us to handle life's trials on our own. I do believe he does allow trial in our life. I remember visiting in a home, and I noticed on the sink, there was a little plaque of some sort, and it said, please, Lord, only one crisis at a time. But sometimes it don't happen that way. There's one, two, three, four crises take place all at once. Somebody said sometimes when it rains, it pours. Well, you know, God allows things in our lives, but not to hurt us, but to do us good. But the important thing is to realize whatever he brings us to, he's going to bring us through because he's going to go with us. And we can enjoy his companionship in the difficulty. And he wants us to unload on him. I mean, it's not that life is going to be easy. There are trials that God allows in our life, and they're for a purpose, and they're for a good purpose. The Apostle Paul, you know, he spoke about the thorn in the flesh. He had some, I do believe, physical difficulty that troubled him. And he thought he could serve the Lord better without it. But the Lord changed his thinking on that. You know? And, Paul, he had that thorn in the flesh in order that he not become puffed up, to keep him humble. And, you know, the Lord said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. And my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Really? Okay, Paul says, all right. I'd rather glory, therefore, in my infirmities. I'll boast in my weakness because Christ is going to become more wonderful. He said, I'm going to take pleasure in infirmity. Isn't that something? To take pleasure in infirmity. Well, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Here we got this second reference to care, but in this case, I do believe it's the care of one who desires to meet us in our need because his heart is tender. His heart is compassionate. He has a loving heart, a warm heart, and he wants to help us out. And that's the Lord, you know, himself. The Lord Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. We think of it in connection with our sins. He wants to take the sin load away. and he will. But then he goes on to say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy. You shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My burden is light. We go in company with the Lord Jesus, in yoke with him, we're going to find that the burden is light. The yoke is easy. He goes with us, and we can cast our burden upon him. You know, it tells us in, I believe it's Psalm 55, verse 22, cast your burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. The margin says, I do believe, gift. I think Mr. Darby has it as an assigned portion. And so the Lord gives us that which really is for our good, for our blessing. It can be difficult, but when we bring him into the equation and we walk with him, we're going to find that the burden is easy. The yoke is easy, the burden is light. Martha, she was cumbered with much serving. You know, and the Lord was sitting there, Mary at the feet of Jesus, listening to his word. Martha says, don't you care that I'm serving here alone? Bid Mary help. Now, the Lord says, Mary's chosen that good part. It's the good part. It won't be taken from her. What's the good part? It's to be sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his word. We've enjoyed that here at this conference. The good part. It's not that there's a place for works. Very important. God would have us to be zealous of good works. But first of all, I do believe we need to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear his word. And it will animate us. And our service for Christ is going to feel the effect of our sitting there at his feet, enjoying his fellowship. It's so important. There's such... Sometimes we find that work is put ahead of worship and it doesn't work out. It's not good. Yes. Well, these are just a few thoughts. You know, the Lord was on a boat. He was asleep in a storm. The storm didn't ruffle his peace. He had peace in the storm. But the disciples, they said, Master, don't you care that we're going to perish? Listen, you think that boat's going to go down in a storm with Jesus on board? He rose and rebuked the wind and wave. He was caring for his disciples. And he cares for you and for me too. And he just wants us to unload on him. Don't be like the man. He was carrying a 50-pound bag of potatoes on his back down the road. And it was bowing him down. Well, the neighbor came along with the wagon. And he said, get on the wagon. You can ride. So he got on the wagon and he sits down and he's still got the 50-pound bag on his back. And the neighbor says, put the bag down. Rest, relax. You know what the man said? He said, no, it's enough that you asked me to ride. You're willing to carry me. I'm going to carry the potatoes. And so that's what he did. You see, I can see a smile on your face. Well, it's foolishness. It's folly. But isn't that like a lot of people nowadays? And I have to ask myself, you know, I look to the Lord for his help. And I know he saved my soul. And he's cleansed my heart. He's made me whole. I got so much to be thankful for. I don't question the fact that he's taken care of my sins, but my cares, I can look to him about my cares and pray about that. And I get up from prayer, and I'm still carrying that weight. He wants us to trust him and lean on him. And his yoke is easy. His burden is light. Well, more could be said, but perhaps something was said that might be a blessing. Just trust in the Lord and count on him. He's going to go with you. There's a little verse right there in Hebrews chapter 13. The Lord says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And I did some study on that verse. And I found out, as I went to the concordance, there's two double negatives, absolute negatives, on either side of another negative, the word nor. So all I'm saying is, there's layer upon layer upon layer in that one verse, reassuring us that the Lord Jesus goes with us. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, keep you. He's able to aid you. He will carry you through.